We welcome to our campus and to this assembly this morning Elder John Longdon, assistant of the Quorum of Twelve, who will now address us.
The prayer, which was so beautifully rendered in song, O Lord, hear my prayer, I trust will be answered in my behalf this morning, or in our behalf, that we may realize the thought expressed in the invocation, that we shall be stimulated in our faith, and that our testimonies may be rekindled as to the divinity of this great work and the opportunities and obligations resting upon us as individuals in the kingdom of God. Being aware that in and of myself I could give you nothing, I do invoke an interest in your faith and prayers. And being aware that I could give you nothing that is new, but I hope and pray this morning we may make a rediscovery, as it were, on some of our opportunities, our obligations, and our privileges. I've always been very grateful as I read the works of Paul in the New Testament. One who did not conform to the teachings of the gospel because he had read the letter of the law and did not understand the Spirit. And so he persecuted those who had a desire to follow Christ. Until you recognize the privilege which was his to have a visitation from the Master. And Paul has given to us, I believe, much sound doctrine which can be applied in our lives today. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And as a preamble to that thought, as he was addressing the Corinthian saints, so we begin again to commend ourselves. Question. Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone. My, he was drawing, I believe, a beautiful contrast to the commandments that had been given by the Lord to Moses. but we were to have the knowledge we receive and the conviction which is ours, which would exemplify the teachings of the Master literally inscribed in the fleshy part of our hearts. And that we should not feel that we are sufficient unto ourselves, but that sufficiency comes from the strength and sustaining power which comes from God our eternal Father. There is another verse in that same chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We know that we enjoy true liberty as we enjoy living in obedience to the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That great teacher Solomon admonished all in that day, and it applies in our day, get wisdom, get learning, but with all thy getting, get understanding. And so I believe that all subjects taught here should be taught under the spirit and inspiration of the Lord. Such was the declaration by the great prophet of God, who was responsible for setting up this institution and so admonishing those who taught that they should teach under the inspiration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of what the subject may be. Yes, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We may have wisdom, we may have learning, but without understanding, which comes as a witness from the Spirit of the Lord, we are still in darkness. Mormonism is an eternal quest for knowledge. As the prophet Joseph Smith said, the glory of God is intelligence. I've always enjoyed reviewing and repeating in my own mind the words of a teacher some years ago as he addressed a group of Oxford students, James Barry. He said to the students on that occasion, "The speck of success is within you." Rembrandt developed his speck into a master painter. Lincoln made his speck grow into an immortal statesman. I'd like to paraphrase that thought this morning. Carl G. Mazur, one of the great teachers of this institution, developed his speck into a great teacher. And there are many others down through the years, even today, serving in these responsible capacities, who I believe are developing their speck. We have but to reflect for a moment on the life of our present prophet, for this is a living church. While we glory in the past and love to dwell upon the teachings of past prophets, we have a living prophet today who is a great example to us and to the world. A small boy born on a little farm in a very small locality. I haven't checked to see what the total population was, but I question whether it would reach more than about 250. And yet today, he is the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of our Heavenly Father. And what a great missionary is, I choose to term him the missionary prophet of the Lord. For I believe he has touched every mission in the church outside of the Canadian mission. We have an opportunity, young people, to develop the speck within us. We are spirit children of our Heavenly Father. We are important in His sight. Oh, I think of the two men standing before Niagara Falls on one occasion. Two businessmen, and one of them saw the possibilities in the rushing waters over Niagara Falls and said to the other, "There goes the greatest source of undeveloped power in the world." He had the letter of the law. The other man had not only the letter but the spirit, and he said, "Oh no," very quickly. "The greatest source of undeveloped power in the world is the human soul." And young people, it is within your power to develop the speck that is implanted within you and exercise the privilege and the opportunity which is yours to have membership in this great church. I'd like to quote the words of Lawrence Lowell. "There is only one thing which will really train the human mind, and that is the voluntary use of the mind by the man himself. You may aid him, you may guide him, you may suggest to him, and above all, you may inspire him. But the only thing worth having is that which he gets by his own exertions, and what he gets is proportionate to the effort he puts into it." And someone said, "Mr. Anonymous, even if you are on the right track, you will be run over if you just sit there." I believe from these two quotations come a terrific piece of philosophy. To me, they translate into, first, thinking things out, and second, in doing something about it. We may have all the learning in the world, but unless we do something about it, no one will benefit. And that was the great message and mission of Jesus Christ, to benefit and bless people. The spirit of genius is the spirit of hard work, plodding toil, whole soul devotion to the labor of the day. And the Lord apportions out to us one thing on an equal basis. We may look at others with their lands and their goals and their possessions and think that some have more talent than we. But there is one thing that our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, have given to us on an equal basis, and that is 24 hours a day. What are we doing with it? They are in our hands. We have an opportunity not to wait for opportunities. We can create opportunities. And what are we doing with this precious time? It's very seldom I have an opportunity to witness the programs on television. And I'm grateful that I haven't on many occasions, because there is literally a waste of time. And they make it so easy today that you don't have to get up from your rocking chair or lounge chair to go over and change the dial. They have the dial or button control right on the armchair. But I did see a program just the other evening, the $64,000 question. I can see I wasn't alone. We may look at the occupation of a jockey as somewhat singular, maybe not of the highest intellect, and yet I was very impressed. Such a contrast. Here was a young man that won, I think, $32,000 in the subject of art, which gave me evidence that he had been utilizing his time to something worthwhile. He had 5 pictures presented to him, and he was to give the author of each one and to indicate, or to state rather, the century in which they were produced. And even after hearing them, I can't repeat them now. We have an opportunity to utilize our time in worthwhile endeavors. I'm not suggesting that you seek an opportunity to go on $64,000 question, but to take advantage of the opportunities that are yours here in this great educational institution, and where there is also spiritualized recreation. And I was grateful to see the basketball team recognized by your student body this morning in that round of wonderful ovation. I should like to cite to you just one or two thoughts that are actual experiences that come out of the lives of individuals whom I believe not only had the letter of the law, but also had the spirit of understanding. I shall ever be grateful for, almost 4 years ago, the opportunity of meeting with a young man stricken with polio. It was my privilege to call on him quite often while he was in a Salt Lake hospital. I saw him removed from the iron lung, but had to remain on a Rockaway bed. I saw that patient mother there, never condemning, never criticizing, almost hourly by her son. And likewise with the spirit of that young man. He was removed to California for further treatment, and now he is privileged to return home and is continuing his education, utilizing his time even while he was on a Rockaway bed in the hospital in study. And then I think of a young man I met a few months ago as I visited in state conference. Blind. And yet what a rich experience it was to associate with him as I attended an elder's doings, banquet, and program, and he was largely responsible for the program that day. Yes, he was an attorney by profession. He didn't feel that the world owed him a living. He had to work and earn it himself. And I was impressed with his intellectual development, his cultural development, for he was telling me of all the fine records that he had at home. Everything that he had money to buy was in his library. And then I'm reminded of a young man who received a call for a mission. He was in Washington, D.C., serving with the FBI just before returning home to have his farewell. He took a swim in an indoor pool in Washington, D.C., diving board. He hit his head on the bottom of the pool and broke his back. Then I had the opportunity of getting acquainted with that young man some 3 years later, to see his countenance and the smile upon his face, regardless of his difficulty, regardless of the tragedy that had come into his life, now in a wheelchair, and said he was cramming so that he would be able to pass the bar. And I learned not from him but from his brother how they had improvised a rack which would hold the books as he desired them, because for many months he was not able to move, just lying there still on his back, but all the time utilizing the talent and the intellect that God had given him. And now I understand he has passed the bar. Yes, these fine individuals were and are studying by the Spirit and not just by the letter of the law. There has always been a need for spiritual transformation. I should like to take you back in history just a moment and refer to three quotations from George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Daniel Webster. Both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln subscribed to the fundamental principle that this nation will go on and prosper if it adheres closely to the principles of religion, and that only on this condition can it hope to truly succeed and prosper. During the birth of our nation, Washington continually called upon God for aid, just as we have heard so beautifully by this glorious choir or chorus this morning. And at the close of the war, following the surrender of Cornwallis, General Washington announced in his own camps, "Divine service is to be performed tomorrow in the several brigades and divisions. The Commander-in-Chief earnestly recommends that the troops now on duty should universally attend. With that seriousness of deportment and gratitude of heart, which the recognition of such reiterated and astonishing interposition of Providence demands of us." You know, there was nothing coerced. He recommends that these troops join in prayer and devotion. And then from Lincoln, "He believed that the perpetuity of this nation was directly dependent upon its allegiance to the God of heaven. He chastised his own country for lack of faith, saying, 'We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming grace, too proud to pray to that God who made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. With this in mind, and in the hope of calling down from heaven blessings which would assure victory to the North in the Civil War, Lincoln set apart April 30th, 1863, as a day of fasting and prayer, and asked that the entire nation join with him in its observance. He realized that people would feel that spirit of self-sufficiency and leave God out of their lives, and we cannot do it and enjoy the spirit of understanding." In a similar vein, Daniel Webster spoke, said he, "Gentlemen, if we and our posterity shall be true to the Christian religion, if we and they shall live always in the fear of God and shall respect his commandments, if we and they shall maintain just moral sentiment and such conscientious convictions of duty as shall control the heart and life, we may have the highest hopes for the future fortunes of our country, and we may be sure of one thing: our country will go on prospering. But if we and our posterity reject religious instruction and authority, violate the rules of eternal justice, trifle with the injunction of morality, and recklessly destroy the political constitution which holds us together, no one can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us that shall bury all our glory in profound obscurity. Yes, I'm grateful that in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and this great institution of education, that there is spirituality. I shall ever be grateful for the experience which was mine in 1929 to visit the General Electric plant in Schenectady, New York. My privilege to shake hands with Charles P. Steinmetz, who some years before, as an immigrant German Jewish boy, left his native country and came to these great shores of America, where he had an opportunity to develop his speck and his God-given talents and intellect. And after he passed from this mortal existence, a fellow scientist discovered some of his writings, and I shall ever be grateful to receive possession of one which I prize. This great electrical wizard, who was instrumental in accomplishing many things which we enjoy in our homes today, in our plants, in our mills, in our factories, even though he had been steeped in the scientific, acknowledged that the spiritual was the most important. For he said, spiritual power is a force which history clearly teaches has been the greatest force in the development of men. Yet we have been merely playing with it and have never really studied it as we have the physical forces. Someday people will learn that material things do not bring happiness and are of little use in making people creative and powerful. Then the scientists of the world will turn their laboratories over to the study of spiritual forces which have hardly been scratched. And I so testify outside of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the spiritual forces have hardly been scratched. And unless we take advantage of the opportunities which are ours, not only to learn the letter of the law, but to learn it by the Spirit, we shall be in the same category. Yes, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And what happens to us is less significant than what happens within us. I'm grateful this morning for your attendance here, for an interest in your faith and prayers. I trust that we may have made this morning a rediscovery on the possibilities which are ours. I believe the opportunities are unlimited, and especially if we bear in mind to learn the letter of the law, but to get, coupled with that, spiritual understanding. I'm grateful for my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and those who have succeeded him in that position. I know today that President David O. McKay is the mouthpiece of our Heavenly Father for the guidance and direction of His church in the earth, and that He is indeed a prophet of the living God. I trust we may continue in our search, realizing and understanding the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. May His blessings ever be upon us in our progress and in our search to understand truth. I humbly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.